This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His first catch of this game.
Yeah, it was the only catch, but it was a great throw. He had a couple of them in the second half. I pointed them out during my game take. You can download the Odyssey app and listen to this show in its entirety. You can certainly stream it. You can go to theteam980.com and listen to the show. Our show today, as is the case every day, is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. 42-14, they are, in many respects, right now, the most productive offense in the NFL, and the quarterback has played historically great for the first four games of his career, and really for the first four games of any career, rookie or otherwise, and is truly right now playing at an elite level. What does that mean moving forward? Well, let's ask our Washington insider, Ben Standing, who's with us every Monday and Friday in this noon slot. He took the I back from Arizona after being out there all week. That's exactly what I would have done. I would have gotten out of Dodge last night. 5-6 days since you've been home. Hopefully you got some coffee. You're ready to roll. We start where we start every week after the game. Give me your big takeaways.
Yeah, it's been 8 days because I left the day before the Monday night game. So yeah, it's been a journey. Coughing is lacking at the moment though, but otherwise we're hanging in there. I basically didn't sleep on the red eye home, and I was just sitting there trying to process what, you know, everything. And it is really hard to process what is going on here with this group. The Jaden part is the easiest part to explain because, you know, he was the number two pick in the draft. He won the Heisman. There was a lot to like. You know, you were certainly one of the first people I heard talking about him in such reverential tones, and that, you know, he's just continued to improve the poise, the accuracy, all that. I get. It's just the rest of it is just so fascinating because this is still a roster that has, you know, several holes. The talent is not particularly robust at certain positions. That's not a knock. This is the reality of the situation when the team is, you know, rebuilding, recalibrating, whatever you want to say. And yet every week this is getting more and more interesting because of how it's developing. Now the defense this week, for the first time this year, you know, really stepped up and was a viable partner to the offense. And, you know, the confidence is clearly very high right now. A lot of it has to do with the quarterback. I suspect a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's no longer the Snyder scenario, that's all part of the past. And it's really remarkable. I mean, you know, if you told me they were going to be 3-1, I'd be like, wow, okay, I don't know if I see that, but sure, okay. But to do it this way, where like the historical stats for the offense are off the charts crazy. It's really hard on some level to figure out how this is happening, but it is absolutely happening.
Yeah, that's a good last point, because before the season started, not really knowing what to expect, if somebody had said 3-1, you would have said, all right, they play Tampa, they play the Giants, they play Arizona, you know, maybe they eked out a couple of good wins. It's not that. It's what we've witnessed with our own eyes with respect to this offensive football team and the quarterback in particular. And, you know, you talk about the rest of the roster and, you know, it's not the most overwhelmingly impressive roster player by player. But I think there's something that happens, Ben, you know, in a franchise when you have a guy at quarterback that it is apparent is the real deal. It just elevates everything around it. And I think that's a big part of what we're seeing. It's amazing the belief that the offensive line has in itself. The running backs have in themselves, the receivers, and Terry's gotten untracked here the last couple of games. Defensively, knowing that, hey, you know, we don't have to be great, but if we just can get off the field a couple of times, our guy's going to put up 35. You know, we'll be okay. There's a lot of that going on, I think, right now, too. And I'm wondering, you know, how that manifests itself in a post-game locker room after a win like that, after the win on Monday night. You know, what vibe are you getting from the rest of the locker room about Jaden Daniels?
You know, it's kind of the same one that's been there this whole time, except now going back to the offseason in terms of his work ethic, his presence in the locker room, this quiet confidence. He's part of the group. But now it's, you know, there's actual game tape evidence to show what's happening. And, you know, yesterday was a day to talk a little bit more about the defense, right? Because they, you know, really shut down the passing game with Kyler Murray. And I was talking to Dorrance Armstrong afterwards, and he obviously had a huge sack on that 4th-and-1 right before halftime. He had 1.5 sacks total. And, you know, we talked about the defense and what, you know, what was happening, what changed. And then I said, you know, like, before I let you go, how about the quarterback? And he just kind of turned his head in my direction, just like, dude, like, what the hell? I mean, everybody is just so wildly impressed. And, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely something to be said for that. With in terms of what you said about the confidence that gets spread in the locker room, to think, hey, we're always going to have a shot here because of this guy. I do think that's a secret sauce that a lot of winning teams have when you have that sauce guy. But you know, I think that's the part here that's just so interesting is like to what extent. Yeah. I mean, again, it's one thing if he was playing well. This is so off the charts as the various stats dictate that it's just like, wait a minute, are we, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe you've already had the conversation. I haven't, and I'm not ready now, but you know, is he one of the, I don't know, 10 best quarterbacks in the league? Is it more than that? Like, how good?
I think what did we list? He's 6th or 7th in the MVP odds race right now. MVP odds race. Is he one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the game right now, the way he's playing? Easily. It's not even a debate. You know, here's the other thing that's interesting about it is that he's not doing it because he's a great dual threat quarterback, which he is. There are several quarterbacks with many more rushing yards on the season than he has through 4 games. He's sitting back in the pocket and slicing people up like he did yesterday. And then he's outside the pocket starting to slice people up. One of the things I was going to ask you about, because, you know, we talked all offseason about just what were we going to see offensively? We've seen so many different things through the first 4 games. I don't have it added up, but I'm going to guess that he was under center as much as he's been under center all season long. And we're starting to see a lot of the Shanahan elements, zone run, bootleg off of that. Him on a quarterback keeper bootleg, I mean, you got no shot defensively of making that play any less than an 8-yard play.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the other part is like, you know, the Bengals cornerback Cameron Taylor Britt made the comment about before the Monday night game about this was like a college offense the way they were running it, and like, you know, obviously that's it's an insulting bulletin board type comment, but you know, like it's not like they have, you know, completely gone to the, you know, all pages of the playbook here to bring things out. They are, you know, have taken things a little slowly, which is reasonable, right? I mean, you know, made things a little less complicated. But with each week, you know, a little bit more gets added, a little more gets changed, and it continues to grow. It'll give kudos to Cliff Kingsbury, of course, not just getting the win over his former team, but you know, he continues to put Jaden Daniels in the best position. And you know, I go back to the preseason, you know, after Jaden did the audible in that Jets game to throw the 42-yard pass, and the next week I asked Kingsbury, what do you kind of make of that? And he was like, hey, he's the one under center. I'm not. I want him to tell me what he is seeing and make calls accordingly. That just does not seem normal for a rookie quarterback. And it's just continued to be this way, you know, throughout. I thought one telling thing yesterday was what Jaden said, that he was asked about the interception and whether, you know, what was said to him afterwards about it. And he could look puzzled. He goes, yeah, I don't think we had any conversation about it. I'm sure there's some just general notion of it, but it wasn't like some heavy handed, hey kid, you gotta, you know, don't do that. He's making so many excellent decisions, which has been, again, a comment they've made all along, that it doesn't feel like they don't need to treat him in a way that they wouldn't treat a veteran quarterback who's been there, done that, rather than a guy who's only in his fourth game. I don't keep just saying it's remarkable, it's incredible, but, you know, this really is, you know, nuts to see what's happened so far.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've not listened to Jaden's presser yet. There was a conversation. You could see the television cameras picked up Cliff going over to talk to Jaden real quickly. It was very brief. It certainly doesn't look like it gets to him at all. He's not gonna back off. I mean, I think that throw just wasn't one of his better throws. He had a throw late in the game to Noah Brown that he overshot him by 5 yards. You know what? Quarterbacks throw interceptions, and really good quarterbacks make some bad plays. But I still think the worst play of the year was his first play of the year, Ben, the one to Brian Robinson Jr. in Tampa that went backwards for a loss of 15 yards. I don't think we've seen anything remotely close to that since. So let's talk about the defense. It was better, but do you share in my concern still that this is a defense that I'm thankful that Arizona, like you mentioned, the third and one and the fourth and one, why are they not running the football? I mean, Connor is going to get 5-6 yards on almost every carry. There were a couple of stops, but it was better, but I'm still not sold in terms of minimizing the overall concern I have in it. What say you?
Oh no, yeah, no. I'm still skeptical about that. I mean, the Cardinals ran for it was 180 yards somewhere in that range. It's just that they weren't, because the passing game just completely died off after the opening drive, that they were, you know, effectively a one-dimensional team, and that also helped, I'm sure, the pass rush, get after Murray. But, you know, I haven't had a chance to go watch back the tape, but, you know, to their credit, you know, the secondary was clearly giving Murray some fits on the play where Armstrong sacked him. He just said, hey, look, the quarterback held the ball a bit long, and I guess because he couldn't find anybody down the field. So, you know, credit to the defense for that. But, you know, I still have a lot of questions about the cornerback situation. Again, this was a really good pass rush performance getting after Murray. Let's see it consistently, you know, at least with the offense. You know, this has now been, even in the Giants game where they didn't score a touchdown, they scored on every single possession. So, that part's been there. We've seen that here on the defense. I do agree with you. There are more questions to answer. But, you know, like you said earlier, if you can just be decent, you don't have to be top 10, just decent the way the offense is playing right now, you know, that's enough. I mean, essentially that's what happened in the Bengals game. The Bengals, you know, didn't punt, didn't turn the ball over, but they were stopped and had to kick field goals just enough to give the offense that advantage. So, yeah, I agree that there's more to come for this group. But, you know, Joe Witt Jr., to his credit, when we were in Arizona midweek, said, hey, look, we're not where we need to be. There's a lot we need to fix, but I'm telling you, we're a lot closer than people think. And it sounds like coach speak, but, I mean, you know, the proof is in the win. They certainly were a lot closer, to delivering that performance in their eyes than I think the rest of us thought.
Yeah, you can't underrate just the snowballing of, you know, the snowball effect of confidence throughout a team. I mean, we see it when we watch teams all the time. It's like, oh, they're not very good here, but all of a sudden the other part of the team is so good. And, you know, the context of these games change when your offense is as good as theirs. The score got pretty much out of control early in the third quarter, and so that just led to even better defensive results. I mean, if you're going to ask this tiny, you know, diminutive quarterback to drop back into the pocket, and then you're going to get a lot of good results against him. And the score and the context create some of those opportunities. You don't know what it would have looked like had the game been close. But I hope they got confident from yesterday. And I hope at the same time it's a teaching opportunity, because they got gashed again by the other team's running game. The other team just decided on a couple of key spots to let the quarterback go back and throw it from the pocket, which was a big mistake. All right. So we've had all these conversations. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course, at Ben Standing on Twitter. He writes for The Athletic. He wrote extensively after the game last night. Go read it. Subscribe. Couple of bucks. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can get that wherever you get a podcast. So you and I have had this conversation back and forth, you know, even before the season started, but certainly after, you know, the Giant and the Bengals win. I think now we are in, it's about this year. I'm not suggesting that Adam Peters doesn't have a once every 2 weeks get together to do a capital planning and a, you know, long-term budget session, okay, with the front office. Of course they should be thinking that way. But this is about now taking advantage of, you have to in the NFL, because these opportunities don't come around. There's no guarantee of taking advantage of having an elite offense as it stands now. We'll see against Baltimore and Cleveland, two good defensive teams. And so do you think, if the offensive results continue and they're, let's just say, win a couple of more games and maybe they lose a couple at the same time, do you think they'll treat this season aggressively in trying to add a couple of spots defensively to their team?
Yeah, I mean, it does give me some 2020 vibes, right, where, like, you know, very low expectations, and then was it like week 4 or 5, Ron Rivera looks at the standings in the NFC East and says, you know what, I think we could win this thing. And we're like, really?
He did say that.
Oh, yes. Wait, what's going on? And then, of course, it did work out that way, because the rest of the division was kind of a mess. And, you know, to some degree, that's the case here again. The point you made about how, like, they didn't go aggressively in, like, free agency this offseason, and that was an indication that this was about the future more than about the moment. I've said this repeatedly about how, you know, they were being building for 2025, and that they're not, quote, trying to win this year. And of course, there's a bunch of morons who think that means, like, that, who people, it's amazing to me, in 2024 people don't understand what when we say a team is tanking or recalibrating or whatever, that it's not the players and the coaches. They're trying to do everything you can. It's about the organization building the roster, how they're valuing their future assets, et cetera. That's what it's about. Of course, the players are trying to win, and now that they're 3-1, right, it does now beg the question, what is Adam Peters going to do here? The trade deadline's about a month away? So it's conceivable that, if this keeps going, that they do look to make some kind of a move. But that said, I still have a hard time imagining he's going to trade away, you know, any kind of top draft picks for this kind of help. Now, I could see, you know, again, like I said, cornerback, you know, I've been saying for a while, there's still some guys out in the street, at least by name recognition, seem like viable options, but I don't get the sense that they have been looking into that market and spending the kind of money it would take to bring in a couple of, one or two of these guys.
We got another month, and there are more games here. But here's what I think all of these guys, end up coming to the conclusion on. They understand how fickle and how fleeting these opportunities are. And it would be one thing if they were just, narrowly getting through these games, and there was nothing super impressive about the mark. But they may have an elite offense and an elite quarterback, and that changes the calculus on everything for this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think everybody's been starting to eye that Ravens game in Week 6. The Browns, the next opponent. Been kind of a mess, but they still have formidable defense, and so I think these next two games will probably give it's more data regardless, but it'll give a better feel exactly where this offense is. And then I think at that point is when you get past that Ravens game, and depending on how that goes, is where again the calculus maybe changes officially. I will just say that while I don't think that Josh Harris has he's not pushing Adam Peters to do X, Y, or Z, again, he is the guy that did the process with the Sixers or allowed that to occur. And of course, that team was miserable for several years. I'm not comparing it to here, but the point is he was willing to be patient in order to put this team in a better position long haul. He said very early on this year, it's not hard to get to 8-8. The hard part is building a contender. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know that you're going to want to do – that they're going to want to do too much when it comes to adding help. But, maybe there are ways to get a little bit more somewhere here or there going forward. But, again, if this, the next couple of weeks continue to look like what we've just been witnessing, it may be an all bets are off situation.
Did you have a favorite play from yesterday on offense?
Favorite play for,
there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, I don't know if it was my favorite, but to the point of this confidence and just how it is brimming everywhere. The fact that Jeremy McNichols, who I believe did not have a carry since 2021, had one career touchdown. He comes in to replace Austin Eckler, who's out with a concussion. That 27-yard run. It wasn't like he looked like a guy who you're expected to be part of a rotation or has been there, done that type running back, the way he was aggressive, evaded the tacklers. Not that that was the most dynamic of plays per se, but just the idea that anybody is seemingly coming in right now and getting this done. Zaccheaus only played 18 snaps yesterday and he led the team in yards, receiving yards. This is what is so interesting, and again, it's the sum of the parts is bigger than the whole deal right now. And plays like that McNichols was making, Brian Robinson didn't play; he played the same amount of snaps percentage wise relative to the two games where Eckler was in there the whole game. They didn't say, okay, Brian, now you go be the guy. No, they brought in these other guys. They also had Zaccheaus do some work in sort of that Eckler role, I think that to me is, it's not a play, but just the idea that you can just, the system is getting in such a way that they can plug in kind of anybody right now and it's still going. I just find that incredibly fascinating.
Did they get out of the game healthy?
We'll find out more from Dan Quinn later. Nick Allegretti had an ankle issue right near the end of the game and they ruled him out, but at that point, the game was over. He was told, said afterwards that he was okay. So we'll take him at his word for now. Tyler Owens, one of their undrafted free agents, a special teams contributor, had a shoulder issue. So we haven't heard from him. But other than that, as far as I know, they seem to be okay. Knock on wood on that perspective.
What about Eckler for Sunday?
We'll ask Quinn today. That once he was ruled out earlier in the week, kind of moved off of that. So we'll have to see where they're at. Obviously, they get back into a normal schedule this week after being on the road for a bit. So we'll see how Eckler fits in to all that. One thing just to sort of add about this sort of conversation overall before we go, going back to the summer and everything, you know, this question of like, well, how much are they going to show, right? How much are they willing to talk about what's happening here? How much are they going to show in preseason? I know teams don't typically show much, but, you know, everything was new, rookie quarterback, maybe you let them play, and obviously they didn't do too much. But the one reason, the biggest reason why both of the coordinators said this is they've got the element of surprise on their side. The rest of the league does not quite know what is about to happen. Yeah, you can study Kingsbury's past tape and Joe Witt, and et cetera, but it's new personnel. It's taking advantage of what you have on this team and, you know, covering up what you don't. And Kingsbury, as we've seen, is, you know, he's expanded his bag of tricks. It's not completely the same deal that he had before. And all these defenses seem to be very flummoxed by what they're witnessing. The wonder is, how long does it take for teams to come up with the wrinkle that they see that could potentially slow this down a bit? I'm not saying that they will, but at four games, I don't think this has happened yet. But at some point here, these other teams are going to be like, all right, hold on a second. What's going on here? What do we have to do? What are we seeing? And I think at that point, you know, again, A, when does it happen? And then B, what's the adjustment to the adjustment? That I think is sort of maybe the next thing to watch here. Again, I don't know if it's going to be this week against the Browns or, you know, week 10 or maybe not until the offseason, but at some point there'll be an adjustment by the defense based on what they're doing that you know, they haven't had to worry about yet.
Oh, I'm interested to see what Jim Schwartz does, you know, this week with the talent and, you know, see if they're healthy and see what they do at quarterback, if it's going to be Jameis instead of Deshaun. But Jim Schwartz, as a defensive coordinator, has been known to really try to fool and confuse young quarterbacks, usually in an aggressive way, and he's got some defensive. So this will be the biggest test in terms of the defense they face and the coordinator they faced since the opener. The big difference is Cleveland struggles to score, you know, on offense. So and maybe you don't need as much, but I'm looking forward to Sunday. Great job. Welcome back. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
Yeah, man. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody. Yeah, the next 2 weeks, right? It's Jim Schwartz and it's, you know, Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and Denzel Ward and, Grant Delpit. All of those dudes defensively and the way they can rush the passer. I don't even know what they did yesterday. They lost the game. They missed an extra point. Hopkins missed a key extra point in that game that would have made it 20-17 because they were knocking on the door at the end of the game with a chance to win it, but they had to go for the touchdown. So yesterday, the Raiders, at least right now I'm looking at it, Alexander Mattison, 60 yards on 5 carries. Zamir White, 17 for 50. That's pretty good. 22 for 110. The Zamir White, 17 for 50, not great. Mattison must have had one long run. He had a 24-yarder in there. Minshew sacked just twice, and both of the sacks were Myles Garrett. This is going to be an interesting one. Cleveland has really struggled to score, but defensively, always pretty good and always pretty.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well coached. All right, we'll go around the league. Crazy day, especially in that 1 o'clock window. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.